Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back with you.
Yeah, it's good. Another whole week's gone by, and whew, time is sure going fast. It's already the first Sunday of June. I can't believe it. Anyway.
This year has gone fast.
Yeah, so if you were with us the last two shows, we talked about Pentecost. We talked about the account from Acts chapter 2. We talked about our friend Peter. And for those of you that may be tuning in for the first time, we don't have time to explain why we call him our friend Peter, but you'll have to go back and listen to a whole bunch of old shows. Anyway, yeah, how our friend Peter was transformed and kind of went bursting out of the upper room, filled with the Spirit, and started preaching an awesome sermon, and yes, 3,000 people got saved that day. Mm-hmm. And Peter said, wow, I didn't realize I could do this well. No, he didn't boast, because he knew what it was from. He knew that he had been filled with the Spirit and that this was the power that his ministry was going to have from then on. And not just him, but all the rest of them as well.
Right.
And they had gone from hiding in this upper room and praying and wondering what was going to happen next. And then Jesus gave him some encouragement and said, you know, in a very few days, you're going to be filled with the Spirit.
Right.
You're going to be clothed with power from above, and you're going to be my witnesses. So they were kind of like waiting to see what was going to happen. And then when it did happen, they didn't waste any time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't sit around there for another week going, well, you think we should go now?
Yeah.
I mean, Peter just went right out there and started doing it.
Yeah, because usually he was, you know, he would reserve himself to say like, oh, Lord, you know, I'll go and die with you. Or, Lord, I'll never let them take you. And,
right.
You know,
Lord,
we have to rebuke him. And so, yeah, this was totally different. Peter was just totally transformed.
Yeah, transformed. And now they start doing real ministry. And now they start doing real evangelization. And now they start reaching people. Now, talk about a mission field. I mean, up to this point, there's about, you know, 120 believers. I mean, maybe there's some other ones, but okay, maybe a couple of hundred tops. But no, actually, because Paul writes later that Jesus appeared to 500 people at once. So
right,
there are a few hundred believers somewhere. But now this 120, they don't waste any time and they start working.
Right.
And we say, you know, we're used to our Christian terms of they immediately started evangelizing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the question is, what is evangelization? You know, that's an excellent question.
Excellent question.
Is evangelization telling people that they should go to church? Is evangelization telling people they should be good? And yes, that's part of evangelization. But what they went to start preaching was Jesus. And who was Jesus? What did he do? Why is it important? And that this is the salvation that we, meaning their people, had been, and us too, that we have been waiting for since the garden, since Adam and Eve. This is now finally, and he even quotes from the prophet Joel, who's one of Stephen's personal favorites, but you know, he even quotes that.
My favorite book of the Bible.
Right. And he even quotes Joel, says, you know, Spirit's now poured out on people all over the world. And this is what you saw happen here.
Mm-hmm.
And they immediately knew what they were supposed to do. And this evangelization is bringing the good news to people. And sure, you tell people to go to church. And sure, you tell people to amend their lives and to, you know, repent of what they've done and to try to live better and to try to live a, you know, less sinful, more righteous life. Those are all parts of evangelization. But what they preached was Jesus and who he was and what he had done, right down to Peter saying, wow, you know, you guys crucified the Messiah, which really hit him, got him right to the heart.
Yeah.
And they got kind of scared, like, well, what do we do now?
Right. Right.
And again, as we pointed out, as Peter's preaching, it's very similar to when all of us preach, and I'm sure, you know, you that are listening have had this experience. I certainly have, and I know Steve certainly has. You start evangelizing a group of people, and there's a, you know, a group that says, man, this guy's nuts.
A scoffer.
And walks away or says, well, that's good for you, but I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. But then there's always a group of people that says, wow, I didn't know that. I never thought about that before. What do I do now?
Yeah.
And that's the people that Peter encountered.
Yeah. You know, as you're outlining the beginning of this, it's pretty clear that this is, you know, as we've talked before, how God's plan unfolded with Jesus said, I have to ascend to the Father, mm-hmm. or else the Spirit will not come. And the Spirit empowers them, because as you were stating your opening argument here, I'm thinking back to, you know, the times where the disciples were walking with the Lord, and they would ask him some questions that were of human origin, them trying to do things in a human by their own human power. Lord, do you want us to call down fire, you know, and take care of these people?
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord says, no, don't do that. And, you know, the times where Jesus rebukes Peter for thinking as a human being does, mm-hmm. not as God does. And then when the Spirit comes upon them, there's this dramatic transformation that they're not speaking in human by their own human power and understanding anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit is speaking through them.
Yes.
They're a vessel.
Yeah, that's a very important point.
And you see it, they talk in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking in a totally different way because the Spirit's enabling them to talk
mm-hmm.
in the ways of God.
Right.
And this is what Jesus said. The Spirit will remind you of all the things I taught
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what's happening here with Peter, because he lays out who Jesus is, who Yeshua is,
yeah.
that he's the Messiah. And they give the message of salvation that he came, he was the one that we've been looking for
mm-hmm.
to reconcile us back to God. And, you know, you ask the question, what's evangelization? Why is it important?
Mm-hmm.
Why should we bother with it? Why should we even do it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole lot more than just telling someone, well, you got to go to church. Well, they got to know why they got to go to church.
Yeah.
You know, they got to believe in their heart that they actually need this Messiah.
Yes.
That they actually need redemption for the forgiveness of their sins, that they actually need the blood of Christ
mm-hmm.
to cleanse them.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't believe that any of that is true, it's, you know, I'm going to be a scoffer. I'm going to scoff at it and go, you know, I've heard this before.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And not that we've ever encountered any scoffers, but
at least not in the last 10 minutes.
No, not in the last 10 minutes. But you're always going to encounter different people at different points in their life, because everybody's at a different place in their walk with the Lord and on this journey of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking with a group of people last week, and we were talking about, you know, forgiveness and, just does God give up on us, you know, and does God draw the line and say, okay, if you do this one more time, I'm never going to forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that's true.
No.
Because if God said, if you do this one more time, I'm never going to forgive you, why would he have sent his son to die such a horrible death?
Yeah. I point out to people that Hitler could have been saved
yeah.
had he repented.
Yeah. Now, God's mercy, if we believe that God is infinite, then his mercy is infinite.
Mm-hmm.
And and we can't exhaust his forgiveness because he sent his son.
Yes.
And, you know, seeing, how do you see God? Do you see him as a judgmental God? Do you see him as like, okay, he's going to pour out his wrath upon you
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to mm-hmm. have any chance of survival.
Yeah, because he's got a scorecard in his hand.
Right, right. And while God calls us to holiness, he's also very merciful to us
mm-hmm.
and also very patient to us, a lot more patient than we are,
mm-hmm.
most likely yeah. to ourselves and those types of things. But when Peter starts preaching, these people are cut to the heart.
Yes.
And it's the Spirit
mm-hmm.
that convicts them.
That's right.
And we've talked before about the Holy Spirit and what the role of the Holy Spirit is. And, the Holy Spirit in evangelization is very important, because the Spirit reminds us of everything that Jesus taught.
Exactly.
And he also convicts us of yep. an area of life of our life that is sinful, that separates us from God. And conviction is not a convicting you to a sentence of death or anything like that. You're cut to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You recognize that, oh God, I sinned against you.
Yeah.
I'm separated from you.
Yeah.
And I need the blood of your son, Jesus, to restore that relationship.
Yeah, exactly. And as you pointed out a few minutes ago, Peter didn't used to talk like that.
No, Peter
didn't used to talk like that. You know, he said a lot of stuff, and you can look through any of the Gospels, and Peter never talked like he was talking in Acts chapter 2.
No, this was something
and
new.
This was something new. This was the impact of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit enlightened his mind and opened his heart to understand what had happened, how this was all the things that were prophesied had now come together at this moment, and that now was the time of evangelization. Now, they had a huge number of people to evangelize because there were only a few hundred believers. And here we are, I mean, we're going to talk about what they did, but what really strikes me now, and I've been thinking about this for the last few years, is in the 21st century, we're here in the U.S., and if you look all through Western culture, formerly Christian nations that now nobody has a clue what we're even talking about.
Right.
Because now we have... You talk to anybody in their 20s and 30s for the most part, and they don't even have a foundation of what we're talking about.
Right.
And so evangelization becomes so important now, and it has to be done at a very fundamental level because so many people have never even heard the gospel.
Yes.
And they certainly haven't studied the scriptures.
Right.
They don't even know the basics of the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
Like at least when we were growing up, everybody kind of learned the basics. And even if you never went to church, you kind of knew the basis of Christianity.
Right.
Now you can't assume that.
No, you really can't.
Because the last few decades has really brought a dramatic change. And it leads us to the question of how do you evangelize somebody who doesn't even know what we're talking about?
Right.
So when you start to talk about sin and they're like, what's sin? What's that? Or when you start to talk about, you know, you stand condemned before God, you know, what are you talking about? What do you mean condemned?
Yeah.
I'm all right. I'm okay, you're okay, kind of society.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I got a lot of self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my self-esteem tells me I'm good. I'm in good shape. So I don't know what you're talking about, man. I mean, you're talking crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And the churches are kind of, you know, catering to this.
Don't discourage me.
Yeah,
don't
exactly.
Don't tell me bad stuff.
Yeah, don't tell me any bad news. And, you know, Paul talked about this in the second letter to Timothy, and it's in chapter 3, verse 5, that there's going to be a time where people are going to deny, they're going to have a form of godliness, but they're going to deny its power. You know, you go to church now, there's a form of godliness, but is there any power there?
We're spiritual, but we're not religious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're kind of sitting in the church and you go, well, this is kind of boring. What's going on here? And then you leave.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says, eventually people are going to talk about church, but they're going to deny that there's any power there. So church becomes kind of a nice place that you can go.
Mm-hmm.
Some churches you can go and kind of hear some nice music and be entertained. You know, some churches you can learn kind of ankle deep theology and you can just kind of say, isn't this fun? Now let's go eat. And some churches have moved so far away from the Judeo-Christian foundation that you can't even recognize it as Christianity anymore.
Yeah.
And Paul says we should turn away from such people, he writes to Timothy.
Yeah. You know, you bring up a really good point because being a musician and leading praise and worship.
Me, you mean?
Yes, you. I'm not boasting about myself.
Oh.
Lest I do that. Heaven forbid. But... You know, we can get caught up into the, oh, I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a nice song. I'll play another one of my favorite songs. And, you know, leading praise and worship, I have to be led by the Spirit.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you the number of times that people go, oh, let's play this song or let's play that song. And I don't get the sense of that's where we're going.
Yeah.
I don't get the sense of that's where the Lord is taking people because God wants to heal. God wants to reconcile and bring people into his presence to encounter him, to transform them and to make them new creations so that they're not the old, you know, wineskin, but they have a new wineskin and that the Lord's going to fill it with his Spirit. And we can we can have a tendency as human beings to chase things and base our relationship off with God off of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And you always run into an area where if that happens, you're going to be led around by your feelings. And eventually you're going to be led astray.
Mm-hmm.
Because our faith is not based on feelings.
Exactly.
It's based on the Word of God, the truth that God proclaims, because it's an absolute truth.
Mm-hmm.
And in our culture today, we say there is no absolutes.
That's right.
It's all relative.
Exactly. Especially younger people have been taught that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, I minister with young people, and it is a very big challenge to help them understand this word is truth.
Yeah.
And it is an absolute truth.
Yeah.
And God does not speak a lie.
Yes.
And it's not, oh, well, you know, whatever I want to make it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and as you point out, and we point out a bunch of times on the show and previous shows, the importance of knowing the fullness of Scripture,
mm-hmm.
the, you know, from the first five books of Moses up mm-hmm. through Revelation,
yep.
because it tells us who we are.
Yes.
And it tells us, and more importantly, who God is and what he's done for us.
And how he reveals himself.
Right.
And how he reveals the plan of salvation.
Right.
And if you don't have a grasp of that, it's the basis of evangelization.
Right.
How do you evangelize? Because if your idea is, oh, well, once you're dead, and that's all there is to it, or, hey, everybody's good, everything is nice, I can do whatever I want. You know, you don't have the basis of this, and this is the society we live in now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's scriptural ignorance, because how many 20-year-olds, I mean, there's a lot of very nice 20-year-olds who read the Bible, and I don't mean to offend you nice 20-year-olds out there, but, you know, let's face it, most people in their 20s and 30s don't sit in the evening and read their Bible and read some commentaries and say, wow, what does this mean? Wow, what does this mean?
Yeah.
And this is probably a low point in people understanding Scripture and people understanding the traditions and the doctrines and all the development of things that's happened from that moment of Pentecost until now.
You know, as you say that, with all the social media that we have, with all the communication methods we have nowadays,
mm-hmm.
you're right. We find ourselves in a situation where people know less about the gospel.
Yeah.
Than ever before.
I mean, when I was growing up, people said, you know, what you just did is a bad sin and you can go to hell if you don't repent. That used to have some impact on me. I think, mm-hmm. woo. Boy, you say that now to a 15-year-old and they just look at you like, what in the world are you talking about?
Yeah.
And there's not that foundation. And these are the people that now we have to evangelize at a very important time, being in this end time harvest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys like Peter and them, they were in the first harvest. You know, we're kind of here at the end time harvest.
Right.
And we have to reach people that have no clue what we're talking about.
It's 5 o'clock in the vineyard and we're the last laborers.
Exactly. And if you walk into Starbucks and go up to somebody and say, do you know Jesus? That has like no impact on them because they go, what? What do you mean? I know who he was.
Was he on American Idol last night?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And it's a totally different world than it was 50 years ago.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a very difficult way. It's a very difficult time to reach people because we have to do it in a different way.
It's a mission field.
Exactly. You can't teach them catechisms and creeds because they don't even know what you're talking about.
No.
Ooh, the music's already here. Wow, first break already.
Yeah.
Let's listen to Paul Wilbur. This is giftofgraceministries.org. Check out our website, and you can also find us on Facebook. We'll be right back.
scatter. Let them flee from before him as smoke is driven away. So drive them away.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So we're talking about evangelization, and I'm going to have Stephen read, while you're sitting there with your Bible, you can go to Acts chapter 8, verse 4 to 8, and get ready. Hear those pages flipping or the computer clicking, whichever kind of Bible you have. There it goes. I hear pages clicking.
That's always good. Papers rustling.
And before, the other thing to keep in mind here is before Pentecost happened, just as Jesus was ascending back to the Father, he said, gave the apostles the Great Commission. And he says, you're going to go from here, because we know from Isaiah chapter 2 that the word of God has to go forth from Jerusalem. So it's going to go through Judea, through Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And they were going to be the ones that were going to do it.
Right.
And he said, but you're not leaving here. You're not going to do anything until the Spirit comes.
Right.
Then you're going to be empowered. So the only way that this Great Commission can be fulfilled is through the power of the Spirit. Those guys couldn't have done it on their own. We can't do it on our own. And let's face it, anyone who has been a great force in all of Christian history is done so because the Holy Spirit's, you know, filling him and impelling him to do what he's doing, and not because they're so overwhelmingly smart and so overwhelmingly organized that they've just planned all this out.
Yeah, they've been docile to the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
They've been willing to be led by the hand of the Lord.
Yeah, and we've said many times, you know, Peter's a great example of that. And he, you see the transformation. And then later, you know, you see the transformation of Paul, too, kind of in a little different way, but same kind of transformation. But let's go to Acts chapter 8, and let's have Stephen read verses 4 to 8.
Okay. Now those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Thus Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what he said, to what was said by Philip, when they heard it and saw the signs he was doing. For unclean spirits, crying out in a loud voice, came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed and crippled people were cured. There was great joy in that city.
So here's an example. You know, Philip's one of the apostles, and he was in the upper room, and now he's in Samaria. Now, you know, if you think back to the relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans, you know, people like Philip wouldn't be walking around in Samaria.
Right.
Jesus went there to talk to the woman at the well, and Philip was probably there too because he was with Peter at the deli waiting to get something to eat. But they wouldn't normally go walking around in Samaria.
Yeah, she's trying to start an argument with Jesus.
That's right. Yeah, we should do a show about that sometime. But anyway, so now Philip's been filled with the Spirit. He's in Samaria preaching, and it says he preaches Christ to them. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't preach anything else to them.
Right.
He preaches Christ to them. And it's not his power. He's not telling them anything that's coming from him. He's been filled with the Spirit in order to preach. He preaches the Messiah to them, and these people are impacted by them. It says there are multitudes there, multitudes that are in one accord listening to him and being impacted by what he's saying. And then, apparently, he's also doing signs and wonders because it says they're seeing miracles that he's doing. So he's preaching the word. And there's signs and wonders going on. There's miracles going on. Unclean spirits are coming out, and, you know, people are being healed. And it says there's great joy in the city because this guy filled with the Spirit shows up, proclaims the gospel, does signs and wonders. Mm-hmm. He's open to what the Spirit is doing, docile to what the Spirit is doing, letting the Spirit flow through him. He doesn't say, well, wait a minute, I got to send a text to Peter to make sure it's okay to be here, or I got to call, somebody else. And he just does this, not under his own power, and he preaches Christ, and he doesn't preach anything else.
Right.
He doesn't preach about Moses. He doesn't preach about Peter. He doesn't preach about even what happened to him at Pentecost. He preaches the gospel. And through the power of that preaching, all these things happen.
Right.
And it's a great thing because a few days before this, Philip couldn't have done this.
Right. No, he couldn't have.
Yeah. I mean, a similar thing that we have with our friend Peter is the same with this guy. I mean, this is the guy who says to Jesus, well, maybe if you just show us the Father, then we'll believe you.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking about this little episode that we've just read, sometimes we can tend to preach about things that we get off message of what the importance of what Jesus did for us is and how important it is.
Yes.
And if we try to, we can't give something more than what we have. But the Spirit enables us to speak on his behalf.
Yes.
You know, if we look back at John, I think it's John 16. No, John 15, at the end of chapter 15. When the advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me, and you also testify because you have been with me from the beginning. You know, the Spirit testifies to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit speaks.
Yes.
And testifies to
Yes.
the Messiah.
That's right. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak about himself.
Right.
He says, Jesus says, the Spirit's going to remind you of what I said.
Yeah.
You're going to understand what I said. You know, the Spirit inspired the whole scripture.
Right.
And as I think we pointed out a week or two ago, when these 120 people in the upper room have this experience where they're filled with the Spirit, they don't go out and start talking about the Holy Spirit. They go out and start talking about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because the important thing is to evangelize people of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And salvation is not from being nice, and it's not from going to church. It's from understanding what Jesus did for them. And this was a totally new concept. So you can understand the excitement of these guys. I mean, everybody they encounter has to be evangelized.
Yeah. You know, you're bringing up a point where it's like, sometimes, you know, we can talk about the Spirit and what the role of the Holy Spirit is.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't just talk about the Holy Spirit
because
our salvation is through the blood of Messiah.
Right.
The Holy Spirit enables us to proclaim and preach about the blood of Messiah and the redemption of our sins.
Yeah.
And you you know, I think what I'm getting at is here is that even in the Old Testament, we have to understand God the Father and his plan of salvation and everything that happened before Messiah mm-hmm. that leads up to all the prophets that speak of
yes.
and point to Yeshua.
Yes.
Because if we don't, it's like, you know, it's like having a family and you really don't know who your grandfather or grandmother is.
Exactly.
That's a good point. There's your, they are your parents' parents.
Right. That's right.
But, well, we really don't talk about them.
Yeah.
Don't you like them?
That's a good point.
And so what kind of family do you have if you have a, if you only have a first generation family?
Yeah.
You don't have a second generation or a third generation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know where you, what your heritage is? What, you know, what people have, you know, what your ancestors were before you?
Yeah. And when you study Romans chapter 8, you find out that we're adopted sons and daughters.
Right.
So we're adopted into the family. So that means now
right.
the father who in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, is a God that you can't approach. Now you're part of the family and you call him daddy.
Yeah.
And you go from being a slave to sin and you go from being a condemned sinner out somewhere mm-hmm. to now you're at the table.
And, you know, when you say that, people, I've heard people say this, well, you know, I like the God of the New Testament because he doesn't get mad anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And now he's nice.
He's the same God.
Yeah.
It's just that through the blood of Messiah,
yeah.
we have forgiveness of sins. Yes.
And this is so radical. And the Holy Spirit opens your mind to understand that.
Yeah.
And when I had my conversion experience, the Holy Spirit opened my mind to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do understand that, then not only does your life change, but you want to tell everybody else about it.
Exactly.
Because you see people out there wandering around, you know, kind of trying to do the best they can and mm-hmm. trying to do, you know, well, maybe if I do this, it'll be good enough. And then you see people that say, hey, I don't care. I'm just going to do whatever I feel like doing.
Yeah.
All these people have to be reached.
Right.
Because even the people that say, well, I'm just trying to do the best I can. I hope everything works out.
Yeah.
They have to be reached.
They have to be reached.
Because exactly. they don't know the good news.
Right. And it's, you know, I always liken it to the one time where, I was listening to someone preach and they said, you know, the worst type of person in the desert is a person that doesn't tell you where the water is.
Yeah.
We have the living water.
That's right.
Because it's been poured into our hearts.
Yeah.
And do we tell people where the living water is at?
Yeah. We have the good news.
We have the good news.
We have the good news and there's a dying world. We have the good news and we have the light.
Right.
So if we decide, well, you know, this is a personal matter. I don't share my faith with anyone because this is just my personal matter. That's not what Jesus was telling them to do.
Not true. These will be my witnesses.
Exactly. And
they're
going to be clothed with power so that they can be my witnesses.
They will cure the sick.
Yeah.
The deaf will hear. The lame will walk. Mm-hmm. They'll cast out devils. Mm-hmm. You know.
And they're even going to do greater things than I did.
And no deadly thing will harm them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's power.
Exactly. And he said, you're going to do greater things than I did.
And then in the footnote, he said, well, and if you don't want to, you can stay
home. If it's a personal matter.
If it's a personal matter.
You can just stay home.
No, he didn't say that. I mean, that's not even scriptural.
And I mean, unless people are going to think you're crazy, then don't mention anything.
How many people who are, that I've talked to, that you've talked to, that profess to believe to be Christians, think that way?
Oh, a lot. A lot.
A lot. And then they wonder, gosh, why is the church in the shape that it's in?
Mm-hmm.
You got to do your part.
Yes.
The kingdom is about doing your part as well.
Yeah.
You've been given a role and a responsibility. That's why Jesus taught the parable of the talents.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's poured out part of his kingdom upon you in the spirit. He expects a return on his investment.
Exactly.
And if you don't, we're all going to give an account for what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did you bring?
And to whom much is given, much is expected.
Much is expected, yeah. I mean, did you bring anybody into the kingdom? Well, you know, Lord, it was really a personal matter between you and I. And I just didn't feel like that it was right for me to impose my beliefs on someone else.
Yeah.
Wrong answer.
Yeah. Or you say, well, Lord, if you only knew how busy I was. Oh, yeah, you didn't know. But if you only knew how busy I was, I didn't have time for any of that.
So this evangelization that we're talking about, mm-hmm. how do we evangelize people who, you know, we have to evangelize those who haven't heard the word of God, but we also have to evangelize those who have heard the word of yes. God and are sitting on it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, Jesus says, you don't put a light under a bushel basket. Mm-hmm. Once you're given that light, you don't hide it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always tell people, no matter what church you go to, what denomination you belong to, just because somebody's sitting in the pew or the chair next to you, you can't assume they know all the stuff, everything is okay. Mm-hmm. You still have to say something.
Yeah.
Then you're going to find out because, and of course, since Jesus gave this as a commission and said the way you're going to do this is when the Spirit comes, then you're going to be clothed with power, then mm-hmm. you're going to be my witnesses. This is not something you really do on your own.
Right.
Because you don't have you don't have the ability to do that.
Right.
You don't have the desire to do that. You say, like, why should I go tell that guy about Jesus? I'm tired. I want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Spirit acts on you and says, go talk to that guy, then an hour right. later, the guy says, wow, I'm so glad I met you today. And you mm-hmm. say, whoa, I wasn't even planning to do this.
Yeah.
And that happens, you know, it's happened to you. It's happened to me. It happens to, mm-hmm. to most of you out there. And the Spirit being poured out, you know, in the Old Testament, the Spirit was poured out, but not in full measure.
Right.
You know, the prophets were filled with the Spirit and said mm-hmm. something. You know, various people like Moses, you know, and Hannah. I mean, whenever you see these people do a beautiful prayer, a beautiful proclamation,
right?
You know, it's under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And
you know, Moses. Know,
yeah.
Go ahead. I was going to say Moses was saying, you know, I wish more people had the gift of
exactly.
prophecy.
That's what I was
like
getting
yeah.
to because, you know, okay. Eldad and Medad, you know, they were late for church.
Yeah.
So they weren't at the thing because they were always late for everything. So when everybody got together at 11 o'clock, they were still someplace else. They were still like, one of them was shaving, one of them was in the shower. And then, you know, they came straggling along late, but they weren't even in the camp and the Holy Spirit fell on them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the Holy Spirit was given to people, the craftsmen in the wilderness to make all the stuff, the prophets to say mm-hmm. these words. I mean, right. when you read through, I mean, let's pick our friend Isaiah, who's a major prophet. I mean, when you read this beautiful stuff that he wrote,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But now with Pentecost, now the Spirit is poured out in a full measure mm-hmm. and it's poured out on everyone.
Yes.
Peter points back to Joel and says, the Spirit's now poured out on all flesh mm-hmm. because now everyone has access to the Spirit
yeah.
because of what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why Jesus told his friends, if I don't go back, the Spirit can't come.
Exactly.
But then once he does go back, now the Spirit's poured out in full measure. And we can't deny that power. We have to have that power to evangelize. You have to have that power to worship. You know, Paul says in Romans 8, we don't even know how to pray mm-hmm. unless the Spirit tells us how to pray.
The Spirit enables us when
exactly.
we don't know how to pray. Yeah,
exactly. And this is the example, you know, Peter's example, Philip we use as an example, but they all did this.
Yes.
And none of them could have done it 5 minutes before Pentecost.
Yeah, because you know, in the ways of the world, we like to take control of a situation. We like to be in charge of something, and we like to plan out how we
yeah.
think it should go.
Sure.
And in the ways of God, we really have to empty ourselves of all that
yeah.
and avail ourselves to, Lord, show me your plan.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And it's not being inactive, but it's waiting upon the Lord to move.
Mm-hmm.
and direct you to move
mm-hmm.
and acting upon it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that only happens if you're docile to the Spirit.
That's right.
And God, you know, if you avail yourself to God and say, Lord, let your will be done today, not mine,
mm-hmm.
not my own agenda, but your will, you know, have me talk to who you want me to talk to today.
Mm-hmm.
He'll have you talk to who he wants you to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be very simple.
And you'll have the words to say.
You'll have the words, and yeah. things will start happening in your life that you'll go,
yeah.
wow.
You know, Jesus, you know, tells those guys, you know, they're going to bring you in front of courts, and they're going to, and don't worry about what you're going to say.
Right.
Because you're just going to say it. And how many times have you been somewhere where you're doing a teaching or you're doing some kind of a, you know, instruction to people, and you know, you've got some notes, but all of a sudden you realize you're not even looking at your notes.
Exactly.
You're just talking.
Exactly.
And then sometimes you stop and say, whoa, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And you're the one who said it, but you're doing it under the inspiration of the Spirit.
Yes.
That isn't something that you planned out.
Right. You utter something that you know is true, but that you've never spoken before. And it's like, yeah. Wow.
Ah, one of my favorites. And I got to dance around the studio. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. Let's listen to Paul Wilburn. If you feel like dancing around your living room, it's okay. We'll be right back.
Rejoice, rejoice. Destroy your enemies. King of Israel, Lord of all his king, in the midst of us, he is mighty. Rejoice, rejoice, daughter of Zion, shout aloud, Israel, sing, rejoice with all your heart, O Jerusalem. For the Lord your God in the midst of you, mighty is his name. Sing over you with songs of gladness, singing joyfully, he will save us. Rejoice, rejoice, daughter of Zion, shout aloud, Israel. Sing, rejoice with all your heart, O Jerusalem. Roni, 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 Batio, Hariu, Israel. Sing, Zivat, Zivat.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Ooh, I got to catch my breath now after dancing around the studio.
Yeah.
Whew. He does so almost
really
as good.
Takes a lot out of you.
Yeah. He does almost as good a version as you do of that song.
Almost.
Who was that anyway? Oh, anyway. But anyway, that's one of my favorites. So now the Spirit's poured out in a full measure. It's poured out on all flesh because in the new covenant, of course, we have a fullness of everything that we didn't have in the old covenant.
Right.
The old, you know, in the book of Hebrews, it says, if the old covenant would have been the perfect one, we wouldn't need a new covenant.
Right.
And, you know, as these men and women, you know, if you go through the book of Acts, there are many women who were preaching too, but as these people were preaching this word, they probably were pretty surprised themselves at some of the stuff that was going on. But since you still have Acts chapter 8 there?
Yes, it's still in my Bible.
Why don't you read verses 14 to 17?
14 to 17. Okay. Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For it had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit.
That's pretty neat.
Wow.
So now, Holy Spirit falls on these guys in the upper room. They go out and start preaching. Philip goes to Samaria, preaches the gospel, went back to that deli he was at when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. evangelize everybody. He was in the deli. Mm-hmm. Then he went all through the town. And now, you know, you have to keep in mind the historical context of this. They hate Samaritans. I mean, they hate Samaritans.
Why did they hate Samaritans?
Because Samaritans were half-breeds.
Oh, that's
the
right.
Samaritans were half-breeds. They had the God of Israel, plus they acknowledged that there were other gods, and they were part Jew, part Assyrian. They were half-breeds. The Jews couldn't stand that. Mm-hmm. So they walked around Samaria when they had to go somewhere because they didn't want to set foot in it.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, Peter and John probably thinking, wait a minute, you know, I just got an email that these people in Samaria are accepting the word. It's like, in Samaria, you know, what's going on over there? So interestingly, Peter and John go there. I mean, they don't send a couple of flunkies up there. It's mm-hmm. Peter and John.
Yeah.
And they go up there, and it's so cool that they lay hands on these people. Now, these people have already accepted Jesus as Messiah. It says that they've been baptized in his name.
Mm-hmm.
And now Peter and John lay hands on him, and they receive the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
By the laying on of hands. And for those of you that are in Pentecostal charismatic types of churches and groups and prayer groups and movements and whatever else, you understand that when you lay hands on somebody and the Spirit falls on them, mm-hmm. any number of things can happen.
Exactly. Yep. And power is released.
Exactly. And there's something about the laying on of hands. And even at the beginning of the book of Romans, you know, Paul's someplace else,
mm-hmm.
and he's writing to the church in Rome, and he says, I can't wait to get there so I can lay hands on you and pray.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he could have prayed for them in Corinth or wherever he was. Right. He could have prayed with them anywhere. Could have prayed Jerusalem or Antioch. Mm-hmm. But he says, I can't wait to get there and like lay hands on you and pray.
Yeah.
Because there's something about that, you know, that transference of the Holy Spirit onto these people. And they now are not only evangelizing people in terms of what's the gospel, the salvation, Jesus. Now they're even laying hands on people, and people are being filled with the power of the Spirit.
Right. And, you know, in as you were talking about in the Old Testament, where Moses, you know, the two gentlemen that were outside of the camp.
That's right. They were late for church.
They were late for church. And they got the Spirit anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and here they were baptized, but they weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit yet.
Right.
They were water baptism, but not in the Holy Spirit yet.
Right.
And so it's interesting that's the way God chooses to do this, is that through the impartation of laying on of hands.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
The Spirit is
mm-hmm.
passed.
Isn't
on.
That interesting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And many of you have probably had that experience. Stephen and I have had that experience many times, and we don't understand it,
mm-hmm.
and we don't plan ahead and say, now, if I go lay my hands on that guy, I'm sure the Holy Spirit's going to fall on him, and because mm-hmm. I've planned this all out.
And it doesn't mean that everybody who receives the Holy Spirit, that they have
right.
to be
sure.
physically prayed over and laid yes. hands on, because God is not bound by that.
Yes.
He can actually fill somebody with his Holy Spirit whenever he wills.
Yes.
And we need to keep that in mind, because then we kind of get into the this rigid way of, oh, well, if I don't do it this way, then right. it's not going to happen.
That's right.
God's not bound by that. But in this case, they went and laid hands on them, and mm-hmm. they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And as you're saying about Samaria, you know, we talked about this when Peter had to go to Cornelius's.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that.
And like, okay, he's a Roman centurion. They just nailed Jesus to the cross, yeah. crucified him, and I got to go talk to this Roman centurion to
proclaim
the gospel.
They've been occupying our land for the last 100 years.
Yeah, and I'm to preach the message of salvation to their household.
Yeah, and he's a military guy of all things.
Yes, and now Samaria.
Yeah,
they would have been defiled.
Yes, exactly.
And now they're receiving the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Peter's thinking, what am I doing in a Gentile's house? I don't know if I should go in there. I don't know.
And if you think about this, you know, God, everything that Jesus talked about, well, mostly everything that he talked about, was leading up to this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be the way that you perceived it to be, guys.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of God is vastly different than that.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is, you know, God's day by day, God is changing their outlook on how do they perceive what the kingdom of God is about and how does it look?
Yeah.
And who's going to be in it?
Yeah. Because Peter and these guys, they had their opinion changed during all this.
Yeah. Now the Samaritans are in it. Now there goes the neighborhood. Crazy.
And then all of a sudden, you know, they're at Cornelius's house. And, you know, you can find this in Acts chapter 10, or you can look on the website. You can listen to our show we did about this, I don't know, whenever it was, a few months ago. And, you know, the Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius and his whole household while Peter's still talking. And then all the people that were Jewish believers said, wait a minute. the Holy Spirit's falling on these Gentiles, and the Gentiles are praying in tongues and are running around the house singing and waving their arms around. And the Jewish believers are saying, wait a minute, what's going on here?
And there's an instance where the person's preaching, he's evangelizing, and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. The whole house.
All at once.
Yeah, and the important lesson there too, and one important lesson there too, is that the Italians were the second to get the Holy Spirit. So that's commonly overlooked.
They were?
Yeah, you know, Cornelius and his family.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, but wasn't that the last prophet of the Old Testament?
No, that's Malachi. Yes.
Malachi, yeah. Okay.
He was Cornelius's great-great-great-grandfather. But anyway, let's forget about Cornelius. They had their can I erase that from the sound file?
Oh. No.
It's but you see, the conceived ideas, preconceived ideas they had in their head had now changed because these unclean Gentiles now had been filled with the Spirit.
Exactly.
I can't believe this show's over.
We got to pick it up there next week.
Woo, let's do that. Well, I hope you've all had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we hope that since Pentecost, you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And we just pray for the Holy Spirit to empower you to proclaim the Word of God. Have an awesome week, everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.